Today's show is brought to you by KickUp. KickUp helps leaders ask the right questions to get actionable data, visualize information to guide effective next steps, and track teacher growth over time. Learn more at kickup.co. This fall's top conference for educators and leaders is the What Great Educators Do Differently conference. It'll be held October 14th and 15th in beautiful Kansas City, Missouri. See speakers like Jeff Zoell, Ken Williams, and Lavana Roth, all past guests here on the show. Register today at WGEDD.com.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
In today's show, I'm talking with Dr. Todd Schmidt, who is an elementary school principal in Southern California. Love so much of the energy that he brings to today's show, but what you're going to really enjoy is his exploration of the innovator's mindset, and we dig deep into personalized professional development for our educators. So often we ask our teachers to individualize and personalize what they do with their students, and we forget to do that for them, the teachers. Well, not today, and he's going to dig into it, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy the show. So, Better Leaders, I'm here today with Dr. Todd Schmidt. He is the lead learner at Harborview Elementary in Corona Del Mar, California. He's a proud husband and father to two beautiful girls. And side note, Todd, your profile picture on Facebook, you guys look like the most amazing couple ever. I just love it when I see it on there. It brings a smile to my face.
Thank you.
But back to the bio. He received his doctorate from USC in K-12 leadership. Prior to administration, he was a middle school history and English teacher, an ed tech enthusiast, mediocre golfer, and a long-suffering San Diego Chargers and Padres fan.
Sorry, you're getting crushed by the. Are you a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan?
More the Sox, but I've turned into, like, you know what? I just want to support people and love them and love the city. So I stopped the hate, and I'm just like, let's do it. Whoever's winning, you know, I'm gonna support them.
Well, that's nice because you at least have decent teams. Yeah. I haven't had one in a while.
Yeah, goes from here to there, so we'll see. But what I love about you, lastly, you are a big believer in the power of personalized PD and an innovator's mindset, and I hope we can dig into both of those today on the show.
You got it.
So, Dr. Schmidt, my buddy Todd.
Yes, sir.
What inspired you to pursue a career in education?
You know what inspired me is I had phenomenal teachers.
Yeah.
From a young age. I mean, I can truly remember, you know, just being just kind of taken aback by the power of the teachers that I had in my life and their impact on my life. You know, I was kind of talking to somebody about this recently, and, you know, you tend to remember those teachers long after they're gone, and I'm still connected with several of them. One of my favorite teachers was my master teacher when I started student teaching. I used to pretend to teach when I was a small child. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, I was pretty lucky is that seeing that and being in that environment and realizing just the impact that a person can have on a child's life was motivating for me. And it just kind of kept me going. And even when I was in high school, I volunteered in classrooms. And then when I was in college, I started to realize I originally wanted to be an elementary teacher because that's where some of my favorites were. But middle school, I had some phenomenal teachers as well. And when I was in college, I realized, you know, I think I'm better suited. My personality, I use a lot of jokes, most of them bad. And I thought, you know, middle school really is kind of my thing. And I was a huge history buff, still am. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go that route. And so, I have never once looked back. I have never regretted it. I have loved just the entire experience. I can't believe actually that I am finishing my 19th year. Like, wow. I don't know where that time went.
Yeah. Congrats. And thanks for all your service for our kids too.
Oh, absolutely. It was, you know what, and they talk about, you know, something not being a job, but a passion, you know, it makes everything fantastic. And I have a lot of memories from a lot of amazing kids, amazing parents, colleagues. And it has always been the right call to go into education.
Yeah, I love hearing that because it's always been the same for me too. I pretty much just launch out of my bed every morning because I'm so excited to do what I get to do every day. And it's just, it's such a treat. You know, it's not a job. Yep. And some people talk about that type of stuff. But for me, it's like just living the dream, you know, this adventure and a passion and getting to serve kids daily. It's just been amazing for me.
You know, my wife, she does medical sales, and she's like, you wake up every day and you get to go make a difference.
Yep.
She's like, doctors, they're not always thrilled to see me. She's like, your kids are thrilled to see you every day, you know?
They're
and I was
pumped.
Like, that's really that, you know what? That's true. You know, it's a good thing when people actually are like, we're happy that you're here,
right,
you know?
Right,
so,
right.
I love that part.
So let me ask you this. Since you're such a history buff, do you have like a go-to history anecdote that you like to share that dazzles people?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I'm trying to think of like what I used to, when I used to, I had middle school kids. So you always had to give them kind of the gory, the nasty to keep them intrigued. You know, they were always fascinated about how a bayonet works. And when we were in the civil, like when we would do the Civil War, like what hardtack was and how they would, you know, eat it regardless if it had maggots. I mean,
oh.
I keep thinking of that kind of stuff, but I remember. Oh, they love it. I remember when I would start, I taught eighth grade, so I had American history, and we'd start with Jamestown, and their first beginning parts of it, I love to tell those kids the story of how that first winter, they didn't think they were going to survive, and so they were like they were subsisting on a diet of, you know, dogs and rats. Ugh. And then I kind of get them, and then they're looking at me, and I go, and there was one guy who actually killed and salted down his wife. And it's like dead silent. They always look at me, they're like, you're kidding. I go, no, that's actually true. And they're just, you know, they, from that moment on, and I always do it towards the beginning anyway, from that moment on, they're always just like, okay, what other crazy story do you have? So I love to share that stuff with kids, but the Jamestown one always gets them every time.
Yeah, that's a killer hook when you're talking about salting your wife so that you can survive. You know, the kids are with you the rest of the year.
Basically from that moment on. Yeah.
So Todd, how would you describe your leadership style and how did you develop it?
It's kind of a cheesy term, but when I started my job, my superintendent made sure that we were really, really keen on servant leadership. And for me, that term really means that I'm there to help make my staff better, to help make our students better. And I developed it largely because when I started teaching, I always wanted to put myself as, okay, don't forget what it's like to be a student. And then when I moved into administration, I always, even when I was an AP and then became a principal, I was always like, don't forget what it's like to be a teacher and what they need and how you can support them best. And it's always about the relationships. You know, when you come in, you develop those, you take an interest in your people and you let them know that you're there for them. And you find what they need, you challenge them, you encourage them, you celebrate them, and then you just kind of, you go from there, and it's, once they know they can trust you, they want to jump on board. Wherever you're going, that's what they want to do, and, you know, they know that no matter how crazy the idea, we're going to talk about it, we're going to figure out how we can make it work, how to refine it, do whatever, and then they just know, I'm going to get out of their way. I can't micromanage. One, because I don't like it. So again, putting myself back in that thing, I always just try to be that leader that I would have wanted when I was in the classroom.
So how do you stay mindful on that? Because I love the idea of servant leadership, and you're talking about building relationships and dreaming back to what you would have wanted as a teacher. But how do you keep that in the forefront and not forget?
You know what? I think that if you make it a priority to give, you know, to give kudos, to give feedback, to ask people, like, how everybody's doing with their families. I know, like, I'm at an elementary school, so I have predominantly a female staff, but, you know, I know their spouses, I know their kids. We try to do things together as a staff that's totally outside the realm of education. But even then, you're taking the time to really get to know them, and you start seeing what their strengths are, and you build on those strengths. And then you're able to start asking them, like, where do they see themselves going? Where do they see the area they need to grow in? And sometimes you got to kind of nudge them and move them in that direction. But I think we've all had a principal or a, a district official who the only tool they have in their toolbox is a hammer. That's what they use, man. They just pound away. And the best you're going to ever get out of somebody is compliance. But if you're able to use those other tools, if you're able to kind of, you know, use some finesse, be able to take the time to really get to know your staff and really kind of help them see their strengths as well, you almost never have to use the hammer. It may take me a little longer to get there. I'll be honest. A hammer is more, if you're just looking for immediate right now, that's fine. I don't know if there's much else that will get you there faster, but those people will resent you and they will be at best compliant. If you want them committed, if you want them innovative, if you want them to just truly be willing to help you shape a vision and help you really do what's best for the kids on that campus and not just see them as my kids, but they're our kids, you got to use other tools. You got to use those other tools in that toolbox and put the hammer, you know, somewhere in the back. Don't take it unless you absolutely have to.
Leave it in the shed.
Yeah, leave it in the shed and then lock the door.
Right.
Seriously, because man, I don't have to come in and go, you will do this. Rather, it's more of a conversation. And I think that's the thing is if you go in at least willing to say, I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to hear your side, I'm willing to, you know, engage, let's have a dialogue. Then they know that, you know, they know I'm coming from my heart, and they know that I'm coming from what I believe is in the best interest of kids. And I've been very lucky in that thing. So I kind of stick with what works for me. And that has been it right there.
And, you know, I love that question of where do you see yourself going? Because it really dials into people's aspirations and their dreams. And it also communicates, like you almost have to infer it, but you're not stuck where you're at, right? It's like a constantly growing and moving and developing type of question because you're thinking about the future and setting goals. And then, of course, you have to think about the plan of how to get there.
Right.
You know, I'm very interested in these off-site connections because I think that's very powerful for a school and for organizations in general.
Right.
It's challenging where I'm at now. We're way far south in the city of Chicago, and our teachers, like our kids, come from everywhere. So sometimes when you suggest a place, you know, oh, that's too far. It sounds like you know, your community will connect outside of school. So what's been a favorite offsite adventure that you all have taken?
Well, I'll tell you, because again, I have a staff that is, my school is kind of centrally located for us. I live north. Several of my teachers live south. It starts, and I got this advice from a mentor of mine. Your first day that you're back, like when you come back from the summer break, your first day sets the tone for the entire year. And I think we've all sat in those meetings where the principal or they just read to you, you know, and that's all they do. And you go through a staff binder and it's like, dude, it's kind of like being in class. You want kids to be excited. You want your teachers and staff to be excited to be there. So I have never done a staff meeting on the first day of school. Nice. Ever. What I've done instead is found something that goes with a theme, an idea, and I bounce ideas off of people and I try to figure out, okay, what it's going to do. And I try to make it a surprise for the staff. So okay. When they come back, they're all together. So here's what we've done in the past. Last year, you know, kind of taking the idea of the blank canvas, I brought in one of those companies. I don't know if they have them in Chicago. They have them all over around here. Those places where you go and you paint. You know, and they kind of walk you through the whole thing, and usually it's a paint and wine kind of experience.
Sure, sure.
So we cut out the wine, but I brought in the person to come in, and we did as a staff the same picture, and then we talked about like how a blank canvas and how you go through this, how you may have in your mind one thing, but we all take different strokes to get there, but in the end, we're all looking to make something amazing with our kids. So that's what we did instead. So we just painted.
Yeah.
And it was very cool. Well, all same, you know, the same picture, just it looked differently depending on how we all got there. I've taken my staff to a ropes course with a zip line.
Yes.
That was hysterical.
Did you lose anybody?
I did not lose anybody, thank God. But I mean, seriously, there were a couple of my teachers who were very veteran who were looking at me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm the same age as their children. Right, and I'm like, right. Come on, this is gonna be great, man. And so we all got on there and they loved it. I mean, the screams, you know, yeah. Everyone was just having a blast. And we did team building, I took them off site. So everybody was together, and we all got there and got a bus. We could have gotten a bus if we wanted to, but I asked them. I said, do you guys just want a carpool or we get a bus? I had a bus ready to go to take them all there. And so that's kind of the thing, is sometimes you got to find a way to just, you meet here and you go. Another time I did a scavenger hunt around the town, and they were in teams.
Cool. Yeah.
And it was all meant to be team building and thinking, you know, like I had them draw, you know, I'm by the coast. So it was like, you know, your team, draw a word in the sand that, you know, kind of that you think best exemplifies your hopes for this year. Then I had them, you know, I got a bunch of pennies. And as they got there, I said, all right, I want you to make a wish for this year. And they threw it over their shoulder. That whole, that parable about the kid and the starfish, you know, where he picks up one, he throws it in, and somebody says, why are you doing that? You're not going to be able to save them all. But he goes, it matters to this one. Mm. So I got a bunch of dried starfish and I had those for them. So every stop had something along those lines. And the purpose being, I wanted them to have one. I wanted them to have fun. That was the first thing. Number two, I wanted them to get to know each other. They've been there long. Many of them have been there far longer than I have, but just a chance to kind of get to see each other outside of it was really cool. And number three, just something that I can use is kind of my overarching theme for the year. And so they've loved it. And then as we go through the year, we just try to find different things. Sometimes they bring it to me. You know, we had a yoga instructor who came in and did eye rest strategies with the staff as part of Staff Appreciation Week. They loved it. I fell asleep. I mean, truly, I was so relaxed, I fell asleep. But it's those little things that I think mean a lot to them that I'm willing to kind of mix it up a bit. And again, if you can build a team, if you can get people to laugh together,
yep.
Then when the tough stuff happens and you got to figure out how to make something work or how to, you know, the latest district program that's going to solve all of the problems for everybody, and here you go, and it does the same thing as another program that, you know, it's just that when that kind of stuff happens, you can hunker down and be able to say, all right, guys, how do we make this work? And people are a lot more willing to start throwing out ideas, and, you know, we get through it.
That's great. Let's be a little more vulnerable now with the audience, and let's talk about mistakes. I'm sorry, Todd. I'm sorry.
But you're going to make me be vulnerable. If I start crying, Daniel, I'm going to be really disappointed here. But
I love a good cry. So, hey, what has been your worst leadership mistake and what did you learn from it?
My worst leadership mistake was assuming that everyone was on the same page as me, that everybody knew what was in my head. You know, I was so, and this happened, this, and I'll be honest, it's a work in progress for me. I sometimes get so excited that I forget that I haven't communicated out what it is we're doing or what I'm thinking and whatnot. And so sometimes I have frequently have overwhelmed my staff.
Gotcha.
And it came to a head one time when one of my rock star teachers. And, you know, Todd Whitaker tells you to base your decisions off of those teachers, right? Mm-hmm. And here she is in my office. And this is a teacher who, it doesn't matter what I say, she will do it and everything. And she comes in, and I knew how hard this was for her to let me know that all of the last minute stuff, all of the lack of communication was just, it was just breaking her down. And when she started tearing up, and I was like, oh my gosh, I really screwed up here, didn't I? I have not been communicating. I have not been sharing. I've not been bringing my team in. I've just basically been making decisions without, and then just figuring everybody can just adapt to my mood swings and my change of mind or whatever the case may be. And that was a very hard day because I truly made a rock star teacher cry.
Yeah.
And she had every right to.
Wow.
And I was very much ashamed of myself because I had forgotten that I wasn't being the principal that I would have wanted. In fact, I'd had that principal who didn't communicate. Mm-hmm. So I made a very big point to make sure that I was now being over communicative, letting the staff know, here's what's coming up. So I send out a Google shared doc that has the month at a glance. Here's what's coming up. Try to make sure I do email. I try to make sure that our staff meetings, when we have them once a month, I try to front load them with like, okay, here's what's coming up. So I don't have to read to them, but I do. I started this year, I started doing webcasts.
Oh, nice.
So that I can make sure that it's getting out there. Yeah. Okay, here's what I'm talking about. Watch it at your own leisure, and then just let me, and, you know, and I'm going to treat you like professionals and assume you saw it. Because if you come to me and say, I didn't know, I'm going to be like, yeah, I've made sure you know. I found somebody who was fantastic on Google Calendar. I have a parent who is amazing.
Yeah.
And it has made our lives so much better because now everybody has access to the same shared calendar. So everybody knows when everybody else is leaving, when our multi-purpose room is available, okay, when I'm off campus. And it was just this whole thing of like, it wasn't hard. I just needed to take the time to realize that whatever's going on in my head, I got to make sure I'm letting them know in advance and really be willing to take that in. And that has been a big thing for me.
Good for you for changing though and adjusting. And you know, that story is probably hard for you to share, and I know you didn't feel good about how that rock star teacher felt in the moment, but that says a lot that she could come to you and share her frustration. Because if she did not trust you or believe that you cared about her, she would never have walked in that office and gave you that feedback. It just never would have happened. So there was definitely something there that I want to applaud, you know, and then the fact that you did adjust. And the other thing, too, so you might have been making decisions on your own, but then you can hear through the story, too, you started to get help, you know, and you thought outside the box with the webcast, doing that. You got the Google Calendar, and you had parents helping it so that you're not doing it all, which I think as leaders, that's what a lot of times gets us in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and it might be a belief that we can do it better than everybody else, or we're just more comfortable with how our mind works and solves a problem. But you got to start, you know, trusting people and letting them take some of the stuff off your plate, because it's just going to build ownership. It's going to probably create a better sense of community and all that, and it's going to serve the school so much better.
Yeah, it was a humbling lesson, because I can't even imagine how many days it took her to get up the courage to do it, because she's just not that kind of person. Again, it was tough, because it just truly, it kind of shook me that I had done this, because I thought everything was just, yeah, man, we're moving, look at us go. And that made me take a breath. That made me take a pause. And even now my staff would be like, dude, it's hard to keep up with you. But at least now I feel like, okay, but you guys know kind of where we're going. And they've had say in it. And I have just the best staff around. There's not a teacher on my campus
yes.
I would not put my own children with.
Wow.
And I've told them all that. Yeah, and I tell parents that. And they go, really? I go, no, really, seriously. There's not one that I wouldn't trust with my own children. So you can trust them. You can trust them. They're going to do what's right for your kids. And that, you know, who gets that? That's just, it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I love it.
What would you tell yourself as a novice principal, knowing what you know now?
What would I tell myself? Over-communicate. That's my first one. Over-communicate. Number two, slow down a little bit, in the sense that, you know, you have to think through new ideas. You know, there's so many cool things out there that just, you know, we want to bring into our schools, because we're still trying to get over that hump of 20th century classrooms, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to get them out of that, shake them out of that. And so sometimes, you know, you're going to want to move. And you're only going to be able to move as fast as you can bring them along.
Yep.
So I'm not the most patient person, I'll be honest. I definitely want things to happen on my timeline. Let's go. Come on. Everybody's with me. Let's go. And I've had several of them say, Todd, we're willing to move with you, but you need to slow down. So our joke a lot of times is, all right, I'll slow down, but you got to speed up. And so they're always like, all right, fair enough. Fair enough. And so that's kind of where we go with that.
Is there a class that you can think of that isn't currently offered, but we should be teaching it in our schools?
A class for students or
a class for, you know, however you want to answer that, I'd be interested in it.
Okay. At the elementary level, there's a class that's not offered it. I don't think in enough. And that is critical thinking. And to teaching critical thinking. That's a hard thing to teach, especially elementary kids. But I think this is where things like Genius Hour and design learning and 20% time in makerspaces are filling that gap because they're allowing kids to explore. They're allowing kids to get beyond spelling lists and, you know, reading lists or whatever. And it's giving them a chance to kind of own their own learning. And I just, you know, you're just starting to see people kind of experiment with it. It's just, it's kind of ironic. It's taken us this long to get to that spot. But if there was something like a class that I could have, it would truly just be design learning, being able to create something that solves a problem, that answers a question that our kids don't ask questions. They don't ask. And actually, I'll be honest with you. Well, I have a lot of teachers who don't ask questions. Like, how could I do that? How could I make that work? It's usually just, no, I just want to, I'm comfortable with this. And that's funny too, in the sense that I have students who just, they're very comfortable. Just tell me what you want me to know. I'll regurgitate it for you on the test. They still, even at that age, they, you know, having any kind of, you know, freedom freaks me out. Yeah. So getting them comfortable with kids of learning how to ask questions, learning how to figure out ways to answer those questions, understanding that the teacher is not the be all end all of knowledge. And I think that's also a big thing for our teachers is it's okay if you don't know how to do something. It's okay if you don't know the answer. Take it as a moment to show kids what to do when they get that spot. So, you know, when I was in the classroom, that would freak me out. I'll be perfectly honest. That would freak me out. But now, as somebody who has had a chance to get connected through, you know, developing a professional learner network through Facebook and Twitter and everything else, and Voxer has been incredible, it just kind of, it shifts your mindset. And, you know, and I mean, growth mindset is such a, it's an overused term, frankly, or it's just not being, I don't think it means the way it's supposed to mean. And it's really hard. It's easy to say, it's hard to do. And I would love to teach kids and teachers how to be comfortable making mistakes and learning from them. That'd be my class.
I think so much of that too, you know, is setting up the environment, right? Setting up an atmosphere where it's okay to fail and learn from your mistakes, because otherwise that fear is there. It's just going to push people away. And I'm so surprised, you know, in high school, I see that kids are like, hey, just tell me what I need to do to get an A on the test and have a high GPA again in college. I'm so surprised that you see it as early as the elementary grades. That's frightening, actually.
They would rather just be told what to do.
Wow.
And that's sad because, you know, you read all this stuff that talks about how that natural curiosity is at an elementary level, and then they get to a certain spot and you're like, they don't have it anymore. And that takes a hard lesson to look into yourself and go, did I have something to do with that? Mm. And I think about when I was in the classroom, did I encourage question asking? Was I willing to go down rabbit holes when they all of a sudden showed up there? You know, when a kiddo just was fascinated by something, did we go down those paths? I don't know if I did as much as I should have, you know, because you're like, no, I got to get through this. I got to get through this stuff. And it's like, but the kids are excited about something. Let's explore that a little bit more. And I think that's scary because it requires you to let loose of the control.
Right.
And that's hard. Yeah. It's hard for me as a principal. It's hard for me as a teacher. And I look at my own staff and I realize that's tough because you don't, what if they're not prepared? What if there's all the, it just, every time you start to lose control, there's a lot of what ifs. And what if they're not ready for the state test? And what if the parents get upset? Or what if they just fool around the entire time and don't, you know, actually, I'm like, you know, those are great questions. So let's figure out how we can solve them and kind of move from there.
So in your bio, you talked about the power of personalized professional development.
Yes.
What does that look like at your school?
I am tired of sit and get PD, where you bring in somebody who stands up there and talks at you for the entire day. And it's just, it's everywhere. That's just it. And it's painful. And what do you get out of it? You know, so I was very fortunate to have some people who kind of showed me how you can kind of make it better. I think Ed Camps helped out a lot. But what we do at my site is I likened it to a restaurant. And I realized that while as much as I would love my teachers to do their own independent PD, like I threw away most of the staff meetings. I said, okay, we're going to have most of our early out Wednesdays when the kids leave early so we can have collaboration time or have time for the teachers to meet or for us to have a staff meeting. I got rid of most of them. So as much as I would like them to all have their own unique thing that they want to pursue or whatnot, I kind of realized that some people, it takes a little longer to get there. You got to scaffold it for them.
Yeah.
So we had three different kind of things going on. And the first one is I have some amazing rock star teachers who are doing some pretty innovative things in the areas of project-based learning, using an iPad as a teaching and learning tool. And so what I did is I had them lead. So I have a teacher leader. We work together to kind of create, okay, what's it going to look like? What are we going to do on these days? Like, how are you going to so they had kind of an idea of where they were going to go. And so there was, and I called that the prefix menu, you know, those yeah, parts yeah. of the menu, that part's there. Then I had, you know, so there's my set menu. Then I had kind of the salad bar where we kind of called it the Google certified thing where you got to go in because I didn't have to do anything. I just had to provide them the time to become Google certified teachers. You know, do their lessons. They got it all there. So you can kind of pick where you're at and kind of go from there. And so, and then I had the When Harry Met Sally model, which is I want it the way I want it.
Okay.
And those were my teachers who you got to pick. What is it you want to learn more about? I'll provide you the time. I'll provide you the space. You need training. You want to go watch somebody do it. And so they worked with me to find the resources they needed. And we kind of crafted an individual plan for each one of those people. So that's what I presented to the staff. And I've shared it with several people. I'm like, here, this is kind of where we started. And I had about half my staff choose to go with the teacher leader. And that developed into a really cool thing because they'd learn about something and then they'd go implement it. And then my teacher leader, I'd give them sub time or release time, or I'd go cover their class or whatever. Nice. So they could go into that teacher's class and help them with it. You know, that first time they were trying something different, trying something new, it's kind of nice to have support or co-teach the class on that day. An extra set of hands. And that kind of just came out of it. Actually, one of my teacher leaders goes, you know, it'd be really great if I could get into classes. I didn't even think of that. Brilliant. Let's do it.
Awesome.
So that happened. Then my ones who did Google, who were interested in Google certified, they get through level one and they're like, okay, I'm ready to do level two. Awesome. Go. I paid for the tests. I just gave them a quiet room. They brought in their headphones. They bring in their laptop. And that was just their space, their time to just do that. Or sometimes they go, Todd, I'm going to do it tonight. I'd be like, okay, great. You're out of here. See ya. And they leave. So I treated them like professionals. I realized this, and I got this from Joe Sanfilippo. He's like, you know what? There are going to be some teachers, no matter what you do, are not going to take full advantage of that time, of that opportunity. Do you want to just spend your time chasing them around, having them fill out paperwork? Or do you just want to work with the teachers that need you and are excited about this? Yeah, exactly. There you go. They're hungry. Okay. Fair enough. I don't have them fill out forms. What am I going to do with them? I don't need them. And if it's all about accountability, it's like, well, you know what? I gave them the time. I'm in their classrooms all the time so I can kind of see what it is they're doing. And then the ones who were doing the individual stuff, we had some huge hits and we had some big misses. But the cool part was even the teachers who felt like they didn't get as much out of it as they had hoped, they tried something new. And so – you know, I'm getting ready for a staff meeting on Wednesday, and I was just jotting down stuff, and I started realizing every single one of my teachers tried something different this year.
Oh man!
Whether it was they tried something innovative, they tried something new. Some of them came up with their own stuff. I had a kindergarten first grade combo teacher who did literature circles with 5 and 6 year olds.
Awesome.
It was amazing.
That is amazing.
And she was so pumped, and it was just incredible to watch her go. I had another teacher who really felt like what we had for the Common Core was not good for fourth grade. And she's like, I want to start finding resources. I want to start putting stuff together. Great. You do it. And she was really happy about it. You know, and then some of the misses, I had a teacher who really wanted to do more with the icons of depth and complexity that we call them kind of the gate icons and whatnot. She's working with first graders and it just didn't quite go the way she wanted it to. But one of the things she tried was a group research project and had the kids work on different parts, research, figure this whole thing out. So here I have these first graders, 7 year olds. And she went, you know what? Some of these kids really did an amazing job. Some of them, I should have tried this sooner so I could have gotten them comfortable with collaboration. But even then, it was just like, this is great, you guys. Look at, you all are willing to try something new, but they're all different things. So for me, personalized PD is own it, be excited about it, be passionate about it, be willing to put it in there. And Daniel, I didn't have to do anything. I had to force it on them. They did it on their own.
Yeah.
So that was, that was a really cool first step. You know, we're going to refine it. We're going to make it a little better. I read different things that people have come up with. I've reached out to people on Voxer and kind of went, okay, we can make this a little bit better. We'll offer this instead. Maybe we'll do a day where our staff meetings are also PD related that focus on whole school initiatives and give teachers tools for their tool belts that are based on that. Cause that was one thing we missed. As much as I'm trying to personalize it, you still have some things that are whole school.
Right, right.
That you still got to talk about, but you have teachers who are doing it different ways. So that still allows people to learn from each other and not just have to sit there and be talked at for 3 hours.
Now that's beautiful, because the thing is, you know, you say you didn't have to do that much, but in the traditional sense of sit and get PD, but you did so much in terms of creating the environment where the teachers could thrive. And you mentioned that you had a bunch of huge hits and some big misses, but I'm sure they learned so many valuable lessons from those misses, and you never would have gotten those huge hits unless you created that space, gave people the resources, and really, like you said, treat them like professionals and gave them permission to experiment. That's what set up something that really is magical there at Harborview Elementary, and I think it'll only, you know, build and continue to grow.
Well, thank you. I hope so, because – and now we're trying to do it. We're trying to spread it out, so like the elementary principals, because we're doing that. So kind of showing people how to use Twitter, you know, to find the resources, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, that's been a saving grace for me, has been being able to develop a professional learning work. It's not only brought me amazing educators like you and a lot of the people in the Lead Up tribe. And I mean, just these avenues, and you know, then when you meet them face to face, it's even more exciting, and it just builds. And it's like, okay, that right there, I've learned more in the last year using Twitter, Voxer, in Facebook as a means of finding my own professional development than I have in the previous 18 years as an educator.
Yeah, we were talking in the pre-chat kind of about that, some of our frustrations. But I think, you know, what's essential in that story is sometimes when you aren't getting what you feel like you need, you just got to go out there and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you found through Twitter and that sort of stuff. Let's pause here for a message from our sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by KickUp, a professional learning data analytics company that provides an easy-to-use platform, helping school leaders optimize their PD resources and efforts by soliciting and synthesizing teacher input on professional development needs, creating an intuitive and simple dashboard so leaders can take immediate and informed action to support teachers, measuring and reporting the impact of the PD efforts over time. Schools, districts, and charter networks leverage KickUp's platform and consultative support to synthesize data so that all stakeholders, administrators, coaches, and teachers can monitor progress, identify meaningful professional learning actions, and demonstrate and share impact. Learn more at kickup.co. Today's show is also brought to you by the What Great Educators Do Differently Conference. That's October 14th and 15th in Kansas City, Missouri. Here's two reasons why you should attend. The variety. At each What Great Educators Do Differently Conference, you will experience a wide range of presenters speaking, including current classroom teachers, building administrators, practicing superintendents, and best-selling educational authors. In addition, we schedule a variety of sessions from large traditional keynote presentations to small breakout sessions to opportunities to connect during many unconference sessions. Plus, there is incredible value. Our conference fees are priced below the fees charged at professional learning events of similar duration and quality of speakers. We work hard to keep the cost of attending our conference as affordable as possible while providing worthwhile learning throughout the event, from the opening keynote to the lunch and learns to the social networking event to the closing keynote. Check it out and register at WGEDD.com. Leading a school may be the most difficult job in the world, but what if I could guarantee that you could accomplish so much more in 1 year than you've been able to in any years past? The secret is to stop leading in isolation and to do so in community. The solution is to join one of my education masterminds. We meet weekly for an hour and discuss leadership and solve complex problems. Text Better Mastermind, that's all one word, to 33444. That's Better Mastermind to 33444 and start your journey to your best year ever. Now, back to the show. So we're transitioning to the last part of our podcast. We're going to have one more professional type question and then a bunch of goofy questions and then a real, real deep question. So let's start with the professional. What's a book every principal should read right now and why?
Let's see here. What connected? Oh, God. See, now, I have like four of them.
Give four.
Okay. Whatever. What Connected Educators Do Differently by Todd Whitaker and Jimmy Cassis, I think, and there's somebody else I'm always forgetting, but that book is amazing.
Is it Jeffrey Zoll?
Jeffrey Zoll, thank you. I love that book because it talks about just this very thing that we're talking about how you get to own your learning, how you're connected to people who are resources, and it was a fantastic book for me. The other principal book that I love by Todd Whitaker is What Great Principals Do Differently.
Okay.
And that's the one I got where it said, you know, you make your decisions through your best teachers. You do that first. So that has always been a big thing for me. And he's got like, there's like 15 or 20 major like tenets that he has. You know, I reread that book a lot. I'm going to give one that I think kind of comes out of the business world that I love.
Yes.
And that's Good to Great by Jim Collins. And there's an addendum that goes with it that's Good to Great in the social sector. Because a lot of the stuff that some of the stuff he talks about in Good to Great, it doesn't translate to education, you know, like they talk about moving people in off the bus and whatnot. And again, I don't know how it is in Chicago, but here unions are a very, very big thing. And, what am I talking about? I've seen some of the stuff that comes out of Chicago.
And, we're in the news constantly.
You guys are always in the news. Yeah. They created an addendum that goes with it of how, you know, you can do some of these things and how it relates to that realm. So that one was fantastic for me. I ate that one up. And then I had one more. Let's see here. What would I say? I've had some good ones lately. You know what? Maybe I just stick with those three. Or is there anything else? You know what? There's one by Anthony Muhammad that I really, really dug.
About the building, like building your school culture one?
Yeah, the building that he has that one because he talks about like how the, you know, like people and the firefighters. I'm just trying to remember what it's called.
I'll link it up in the show notes. I'll find it. But that one's a good one too. I've read it as well.
That one really was fantastic. I really did enjoy that one a lot. So yeah, those would be the ones I would say that everybody. Oh, I know one. So now I'm giving you five. Ken Robinson's book, Creative Schools. That one was really, really good. It's like when if you ever see him or you watch him on a TED Talk or whatnot, you hear his dry British humor in everything and what he writes, and it just, you smirk a lot. So I like that one a lot too. So yeah, those are the ones. I'll stop now.
Cool. Todd, what do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? Let's see here. I like to read, but I like to work out. That's kind of a stress releaser for me.
Yeah.
I like to play golf. I'm not good at it, but I do like to play it just because it's an excuse to drink with friends.
Yep.
I love to hang out with my kids and my wife. That's a lot of fun. Go to, you know, any kind of activity we can figure out is a great time. I love to hang out with friends. I'm very much an extrovert, in case you couldn't tell, and I like to be around people.
Yeah.
And so I like to go have fun. Just, you know, that's – I really don't care as long as there's people around and, you know, people that I love and care about. It just about anything can be fun for that. But you know, those are what I do just to kind of relax and kind of take my mind off of the stuff I got going on if it's stressful at work.
I'm on a personal mission to defeat everybody in rock, paper, scissors that I come across.
Nice.
What would you throw first?
Paper, because most people throw rock for some reason.
You know, that's been I just started asking that question a few episodes ago?
That's a great question. I've never been asked that. That's awesome.
I try to come up with some awesome questions.
That's a good one. I like that one.
A lot of people say paper because they think of The Rock, and that's why I've been. I think my throw of scissors is pretty.
See now. It's that whole thing. That's, you're right, because people always think they're going to go out. Because, well, it's just easier, because if you're going 1, 2, 3, you got a closed fist already.
Yeah.
Kind of sticks there.
Yeah. It's like you're
so
frozen.
You're throwing it out there. That's very, very clever. I like that.
Okay, these are some crazy questions.
Awesome.
Would you rather be attracted to fruit, like, you know, very interested in them, or mm-hmm. have Cheetos dust permanently stuck on your fingers?
Oh, I'd be attracted to fruit. Cheetos dust on my finger. I mean, seriously, you'd be licking your fingers like all the time. That would you? Oh yeah, no, God no. And then that sound of somebody like licking their fingers. Nope, I'll be attracted to fruit.
There you
That's
go.
Awesome. Okay.
Well, I'm not this smart. I stole it from BuzzFeed, but I just think these questions are great. So
that's fantastic.
Would you we'll do a few of these. Would you rather speak any language fluently or be able to talk to animals?
I will go with speak any language fluently. I like to travel.
Yeah.
And I spent 2 years overseas at an American school in Taiwan. And the ability to be able to speak any language fluently, that would just come in really handy. You know, wherever you go, you find out where the locals hang out. So you're avoiding the tourist traps, and then you find out you're not getting taken by somebody, or you can get yourself to all the cool stuff. So I would do that. And I don't know the animal thing would be nice, but I have a dog, and if I can talk to him, we would never stop. So yeah, no.
That's so awesome. Would you rather be able to only whisper or only shout?
I think there's a lot of people in my life who would like it if I could whisper, because I am very loud. I think they think I can only shout. So I think I'll go with whisper, because you know what? People listen more when you're very quiet.
Some people like that too. It's a thing. I heard it on NPR, but some people are very interested in when people just whisper.
You know, you can find me on campus anywhere. I am so loud. So again, I think, and my wife frequently will say, you need to stop using your teacher voice. I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm getting too loud again. Yeah. So yeah, I'll go with the whisper, just because it will never happen. So. Gotcha.
Last ridiculous question. I have asked this one before, but it's just so crazy. Would you rather have legs as long as your fingers, or fingers as long as your legs?
Oh my God.
I love that one.
Oh. I think, you know what? I will go. Oh wow. I'm actually truly flexing my fingers to see which would I prefer. you know what the thing is that if you had legs as long as your fingers, it's harder to get around.
Hey, last guest picked it.
Really? I think I'm going to go with the longer fingers, because it would help. I'm not the tallest person, so I think it would help my basketball game and help me get things off the top shelf. Nice. I'll go with that.
Well, Todd, you made it to the end. Here is the serious question, and then we'll wrap up the show. You've been awesome, by the way. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So, Todd, you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create the school if you were given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building the school?
Okay, my first thing are I would want phenomenal teachers who saw the power of innovation and saw the power of teamwork and collaboration. So if money was no object, I would go out there and hire rock star teachers, every single one of them. So I'd start with my team, because also that's the most important thing to a kid. If a kid's success is determined almost entirely by the quality of their teacher. So that's my first one. My second one, I want innovative learning spaces. I am so tired of desks and chairs, and they're everywhere. And I'll be honest, they're on my campus too. And trying to get my teachers to let go of them has always been fun for me. But I have to admit, I had desks in rows. So I want cool environments where kids can move the tables, can, you know, have ownership, like have a big old Lego wall where they can get engaged with that. And that then, and just, you know, where they're just, they feel comfortable. They find the things. There are some desks, because some kids like desks and they like chairs, and other ones like beanbags and they like, or they like bouncy balls, or they're like me, they like to stand. I like to stand. I have a stand up. I have a podium in my office. I look like I'm preaching, but it is really cool for me because I can stand and yeah. I like that. So I think having that variety is really, really cool. So that's going to be another thing. We're going to have a lot of innovative, flexible learning environments. And then my other big thing is we're going to have – I'm reading the book Launch right now by John Spencer and AJ Giuliani.
I see what you did there too. You snuck in the sixth
book. I stuck another book. Did you like that?
Yeah.
That was really good. I thought I just kind of slinged that one in. But it is – I'm in the middle of reading it. And one okay. of the cool parts they talk about is design learning. It's not okay. just makerspace. It's not just Genius Hour. It is having a place where kids – it doesn't have to be high tech. It can be no tech, but I want a place that is fully stocked where kids can dream, where kids can be innovative, where kids can figure out and solve and tinker and play and just own it. Because once they get excited about that, they're going to be excited about writing. They're going to want to read like crazy to figure out, okay, how does this work? So now that you've given them a question and they are hitting on all cylinders. And then you show them how math can incorporate in that and how science ties in. And God, I love history. So let's figure out where this started and how it got to this point. And let's share. And, you know, you share those stories. That's it. Just a big one where, again, classes can come in and just be crazy, having fun. Those would be my top three.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Okay, best way to get a hold of me is Twitter or Voxer. I have the same Voxer and Twitter handle. It's T.S. Schmitty. It's kind of late to the Twitter game, so I couldn't use T.S. Schmidt, so I had to add a Y to the end. You know what? Parting words of advice, I think it's just – you bring your excitement and your enthusiasm to your school, and it's contagious. You know, if you're excited about what you're doing, if you're excited about kids, if you're excited about your staff, if you're engaged with them and you know what's going on, it's hard not to be successful. And so that's it for me. I try to laugh at least, oh God, as many times as I possibly can. So we find jokes, we find laughter, even in the hard times. Sometimes if you can just laugh, you know, it just builds such an incredible team. And then there's no stopping what you're going to be able to do for kids. That's it.
Would you like to tell the listeners a joke?
I have bad, bad jokes. And you know, here's the thing, Daniel, I'm not really a great joke teller. I'm not a great comedian. I'm more of a moment to moment, you do something funny that I kind of play off of, or I say something stupid and I make fun of myself all the time. So that's kind of how it works here, but I'm trying to think if I have any good joke. Oh, see, pressure's on, so I won't be able to think of anything.
That's okay.
See, now I'm not even being funny. Jeez, thanks, Daniel. You totally set me up and I just biffed it. Ugh.
It's okay.
So hard.
It's all right. Yeah. I'm the same way. I don't memorize jokes. I'm not a joke like writer or teller, but totally improv with the yes and just having fun in the moment. But, you know,
yeah.
Get each
it's
other
the
going.
Conversation. It's your yeah. tone. It's your reflection. Yeah. Yeah, that's usually it. I used a lot of gentle sarcasm, especially with middle school students, just because it was a very fun way. You know, you always knew which kids you could kind of bust their chops a little bit, and they loved it. And, right. You know, I mean, sometimes my brain, I'm like, God, I'm like a middle school boy again. Jeez. I find find sounds funny, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
It's just, it's all that kind of stuff like that. You're just like, oh my gosh, I'm 41. Come on. It shouldn't be funny, but it is.
Yeah. Never lose it's that. Hysterical. It's awesome. Yeah.
So thank you very much, Daniel. I really, really appreciate this. This was an absolutely awesome, awesome time for me.
Definitely. And Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to the podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Todd. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Todd in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode and links to all the resources and the best way to connect. And again, Todd, thank you. You're amazing. You are awesome. And thank you for sharing your leadership insights and helping the Better Leaders be better.
Thank you so much.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network. Podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.